Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Kevin Most, thank goodness, is here with us to answer questions and bring us the facts and nothing but the facts. Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Happy New Year to you, my friend. How are you?
Doing great, Dean. Happy New Year to you. And yeah, 2 years of this is getting a little old. So hopefully we're turning the corner here, but we got a little pain before that happens.
So where are we exactly right now? I know that infection rates, positivity rates are through the roof, higher than they've ever been. Are we seeing any place, anywhere, where things are beginning to decline and we're seeing things leveling off a little bit?
Yeah, actually, in New York, we are. And if you look worldwide, the really positive stuff is what they're actually seeing in South Africa and what they're seeing a little bit in Britain right now, or the UK. But certainly, if the trend plays out the way it's played out in South Africa, then we should be in a very promising spot, I would say, in a month and a half.
And where are we in terms of severity? It seems like every time you turn around, 3, 4, 5 more people in your own circle of friends and family are testing positive. That's higher than ever still here in the Chicago area, right?
Absolutely. You know, we kind of had this perfect storm where we still had really a good number of Delta cases, which is obviously the strain that is causing the most severity, the most hospitalizations, the most illnesses, and then, boom, bring Omicron right on top of it. And really what you're hearing now, especially with hospitalizations, is one of the numbers you have to listen for is something called incidental findings. In other words, about 20 to 30% of people are testing positive for COVID because they have Omicron, and yet they're in the hospital for something else. That being said, the stress and strain on the hospital system is more on the workforce that they're testing positive and therefore can't be on the work site, and we still have this very high number of hospitalizations across the entire country.
As the chief medical officer over at Central DuPage Hospital, what does that mean when we hear that hospitals are stressed? Does that mean that, you know, that somebody can't get into your emergency room, that there's not room for people to have elective surgery or just other procedures that need to be done for heart disease, for diabetes, for other things which are also critical care?
Yeah, you know, it's a very fascinating thing that's going on right now. I can tell you, you know, and we at Central DuPage are no different than anywhere else. We have two meetings a day that are focused on this, one at 7 in the morning, one at 7 in the night. And then throughout the day, we're obviously doing whatever we need to do. We're trying to not decrease elective surgeries, mainly because all that is pushing the can down the road, and individuals who need surgery could be in a more difficult position health-wise in the future. So we're trying to do that as much as we can. But we also have to make sure that we have the capabilities to take care of any stroke patients, heart attack patients, you know, emergency surgery patients. So certainly that's our focus right now. And boy, I'll tell you, it not only is stressing the healthcare workers, it's actually stressing the entire system, all the way from paramedics in the field, all the way to, you know, nursing facilities in the outpatient world. So in the hospital, all I can say is people don't understand the heroes. You know, we call nurses and staff heroes, and I can tell you that they are probably much bigger heroes than they have been in the past. You know, they're working a lot more. They're working a lot harder. They're working because their coworkers are out with Omicron, and we have every bed in the hospital full, plus what we call overflow areas, where we can safely treat patients, but they're not in the ideal hospital bed.
The big issue that's going on right now, so much so that Chicago public schools are closed, is safety for children. What is a reasonable amount of safety now for kids as it has to do with COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, The children, obviously, that can get vaccinated, that is very key to make sure that they're vaccinated. And probably more importantly is that their parents and the rest of the family is vaccinated. And I struggle with this. You know, I look at kids at school and say, You know, if we distance them, the teachers are fully vaccinated, we can monitor them. It's a much better learning environment. And I think what people really have to understand is that a large number of children, especially in the city of Chicago, their two main meals that they're going to eat every day are provided at school. So not only the social aspect, the nutritional aspect, as well as the learning aspect. So I think we can really make them very safe in the school setting. People don't understand, you know, and say, hey, you know what, we're going to do remote learning. There's a lot of people who have to go to work, and their kids are either left at home now, or they're put with a whole bunch of other kids, family or neighborhood kids, in a setting that is much less safe. So certainly we have to look out for these kids, and I think one thing that we can do is that school may be the safest place for them.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to take sides in this with either the city or the teachers union, but other cities are successfully bringing the kids back into school. New York City, I believe, is one of them. You know, it's got to be one of the larger school systems in America. They've brought kids back into the school, I presume, with the kind of precautions that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and we know kids are going to get this. We have to understand Omicron is so infectious that we're all going to get it. I mean, that's kind of the consensus that we're all taking right now. Children, for the most part, are going to do very well with this. Certainly, we have seen some increase in hospitalizations in children. But again, at this time of the year, we see that with RSV. We see that with influenza. We see that with many things. So we can try to protect the kids as much as we can, and certainly we should. And those that are vaccinated, like I said, will do well. You know, disappointing news, you know, coming out of Pfizer that their vaccine for the younger children really didn't work well. So we're still looking at that 5 and up being able to be vaccinated and still trying to protect those younger, especially in that 2 to 4, where they don't get the protection from breast milk that the mother can give to a newborn.
So what are the age groups now for kids who can be vaccinated?
5 and above. So 2 to 5, Pfizer had a study that just came out that showed that, boy, they didn't get the response that they really had wanted. But everybody 5 and above can. And certainly we want to make sure that they can. The 2 to 4, you know, those are the tough kids. Those are the kids that they're either going to want to wear a mask because they think it's cool, or they're not going to want to wear a mask. So trying to protect them by being a family vaccinated around them and being careful where they go is really important until we get this from a pandemic to an endemic and really get it past the stage where we can't control the spread, but we know it's going to be in the public.
So 5 and above, if the kids are vaccinated, do they eventually also get boosted, or is it just vaccinations for little kids?
They will probably end up getting boosted as well. You know, right now we're looking at boosters over the age of 15. So they'll certainly probably end up getting boosted. But, you know, we've just done them recently, so we really don't even know the time frame of when they will need the booster. But certainly appears that just with everybody else, you get that waning immunity at about 6 months, and that's why we're doing the boosters where we are right now. We expect that that may be a little bit extended out in children just because their immune system is so good and growing, but certainly probably will pan out to be similar to what we see in adults.
So if kids 5 and above then are vaccinated, they follow the same protocol as all the rest of us then of just being masked as much as possible, keeping our distance, washing our hands as much as possible, same kinds of things, whether it's in a school setting or in a community group setting or, you know, some kind of setting outside immediate family.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that the vaccine, again, is to prevent severe illness and hospitalization, which is exactly what we want to do in kids. Kids may still get breakthrough cases like we're seeing in adults. But if it's mild to moderate, how many kids don't get a bad cold once, twice, three times a year? So certainly there are some kids that are going to get this and get quite ill, just as we see with adults with comorbidities. But for the most part, that vaccinated child is going to be protected from hospitalization and severe illness, which is exactly what we want. We want them, and if they get it, okay, they get it, and they have mild to moderate symptoms, perfect. They now have natural immunity, as well as the vaccine immunity, and they're in a great place to protect themselves as well as protect the rest of their families.
Isn't that the miscommunication that the, you know, people say, geez, I got the vaccine and yet I still got COVID. And I say, well, did you go to the hospital? Did you have severe symptoms?
Are you on a ventilator?
Did you die? Then it worked. You shouldn't look at it. It's like, geez, I got vaccinated and I still got it. No, you got vaccinated. You got it, but it wasn't severe. It was just like you're saying, doctor, it was a sniffle, a cold, and you got over it in a couple of days. You weren't hospitalized. It is working.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital, with us to answer your questions. And Kevin, 773 area code asks, what about the new strain in France? I've heard a little about this as well. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so there is a new strain, which is not surprising. We have to remember that as we see so many cases of Omicron, the chance of more mutations happening is certainly going to be there. They found a strain in France, a very small number of patients, about 15 to 20 patients, an individual who traveled from Cameroon to France, and then it has kind of spread a little bit. Still very well contained. Not even a variant of concern or a variant of interest right now, so more of an interesting topic. But we know we're going to see more and more of these, but it certainly does not appear to be something that is going to be revolutionizing and moving as quickly as Omicron did. But certainly keeping our eyes on it and probably really kind of watching France as close as we can to see if that's going to spread more. But the initial readings right now are really not that concerning and probably, hopefully, will just phase out and not spread outside of France.
This is Laura on the line with Dr. Kevin Most. Hi, Laura. You're on WGN.
Hi. Hi, Dean. Hi, Doctor. I work in a pharmacy, and, of course, we are surrounded by people who have COVID. So there are 10 of us, and 7 of us tested positive last week. What does my employer need to do to keep it safe before we come back? And I know you're not a lawyer, but do they need to have a professional team come in, or?
No, Laura, it's interesting. You know, when we first had COVID, that was our big thing, right? Disinfect everything, take everything down, wash everything. When in fact we found out that your exposure is probably more on your people coming into the store than it is the surfaces of the store itself. So first of all, thank you very much for your service, because pharmacies are playing such a huge role right now in the testing of this, as well as making sure that patients can get in to have the medications that they need to treat their fevers, their aches and pains, their fluid maintenance. So appreciate that. But really, what it comes down to is, do you have the right safeguards in place? Do you have shields up so that people that are talking to you, that your patients that are coming in, that's one blocking mechanism? Are you making sure that you're spaced appropriately amongst your coworkers? Are you washing your hands frequently? Are you using gloves appropriately? Really, the concern should not be the surfaces, but more the interactions with the individuals who, like you said, are COVID positive and coming into your pharmacy. Positivity rates for testing now is so high that probably 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3 people walking in to your store right now are positive. So making sure that you remind people who aren't wearing the mask appropriately, can you please put that mask on appropriately and still do it in a polite and empathetic way? That's how you're going to protect yourself in the workplace.
I was in a store the other day, Kevin, and there was a guy behind me that didn't have his mask on. He had it down around his neck, of course, which is very helpful. He had it down around his neck, but he was close to me. He was just a few feet away. And I turned around. I said, excuse me, could I ask you to put your mask on? And the look that he gave me.
And then he punched you.
If dirty looks could kill, somebody else would be doing this show now.
Oh, Dean, that happened to me at the dollar store. And the guy told me I was going to beat him to the cemetery. I should read Genesis or something, whatever he told me.
Wow.
I had a woman who didn't even have a mask on. There wasn't even a mask hanging off of her ear.
Yeah.
Not even in her hand. No, just walking through the store. And I'm like, there's a sign on the door that says you need a mask to come in. So why isn't she being kicked out?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Kevin, you mentioned to wear gloves. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was wearing gloves everywhere.
You're wearing a hazmat suit.
I got away from the gloves. Should I be putting the gloves in? In what circumstances is that a good idea?
Yeah, Dean, it's interesting. You know, we touch our face so many times, so that really it's a transmission of, you know, our hands to our face, to our nose, to our mouth that really caused a lot of these illnesses. So in the retail setting, certainly when you're taking a credit card, which fortunately we don't do that often anymore, you get to put it in yourself, but you're taking cash or you're handing somebody to somebody, we still should be really careful about shaking hands with individuals and washing our hands if we do. Remember, no one did that. We were elbow bumping and fist bumping.
Right, right.
And now I think we've slipped back. We have to understand that people cough on their hands, sneeze on their hands, you know, touch their face, and that is one of the transmission points. So certainly in the retail setting, I'd be very careful. And actually in the personal setting, if you do shake hands with anybody, you know, I'm sorry, like I said, one out of three, and it's probably going to go higher than that very, very soon here, are people that you're even interacting with are going to be positive.
Yeah, I should probably go back to the gloves at the grocery store, because if the person before me is coughing into their hand, touching their shopping cart, and then Dean comes along, grabs the same shopping cart, I've got their cough now all over my hands.
Or that same can of corn.
True.
That they picked up.
Yeah. Here's Sharon. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most on WGN.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 31-year-old daughter who lives in California. She received two J&J vaccines. The second one she received in November. But since the J&J is not as effective as the Moderna or Pfizer, can she go ahead and get another shot and get a Moderna or a Pfizer? And if so, how long would she have to wait between, you know, getting her last dose of the J&J in November and getting another one? I mean, she doesn't want another J&J.
Yeah, Sharon, I totally agree with her. You know, it's unfortunate that she even got the second J&J. You know, when those first studies came out showing boosters, especially with Johnson & Johnson, was that your second one should be either Pfizer or Moderna. Now, she's 2 months past that with her November J&J. She should be able to go in now and get that. That should not be an issue. And in California, she should not have any problem with an access point of getting it. But she certainly should make sure that she gets Pfizer or Moderna as her quote-unquote booster to get her back up to where she should have been after the second shot, had it been of Pfizer or Moderna.
Okay.
J&J backed by J&J was not a great combination. You know, it showed some initial decent coverage, but waned very quickly. And that's why they quickly made the recommendation that if you got J&J, that you should be followed up with a Moderna or a Pfizer.
Okay. Yeah, it's really disappointing to us that when she went to get her second one, they said all they had was the J&J. So at the time, she thought it was better than nothing.
100%. She was absolutely right in that thought process. Hey, I'd rather have something than nothing, and I really want to make sure that I'm protected, especially with the J&J. So not a misstep on her part if she didn't have that option, but now she should clearly have the option as the availability of Johnson & Johnson is still high, but Pfizer and Moderna is right there. She should be calling around and asking specifically, which vaccine do you have? I need a Pfizer or Moderna.
Sharon, good luck with all of that, and thank you for your call. 630 area code texts. I've been vaccinated and boosted. If you get COVID, are you super immune to the virus? And if so, for how long?
It's an interesting point that a lot of people are bringing up right now, because we're talking about the breakthrough cases on Omicron. We have to remember that the vaccine was actually formulated based on the original Alpha variant, right? Now we've had the Delta, we've had the Omicron, so certainly we know that the vaccine is going to have some breakthrough cases. When you get the breakthrough case, you are actually getting the strain that is active in the community, which is great, because now you have not only the natural immunity from your infection, but you also have the vaccinated immunity. As far as how long that's going to last, we're unsure. We're probably thinking that we're going to need a fourth shot or a booster again in the fall, which if that were the case, that's going to be fine, because by that time it's going to be endemic instead of pandemic, and it's going to be more like your influenza shot. So certainly that individual is in a really good place where they've been vaccinated, boosted, and have gotten a breakthrough case. Their immunity should be in a very good place going well into the spring and summer.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Always good to talk to you, Kevin. Have a great Sunday. Thank you.
You got it, Dean. Take care.